13 before 12, 20 degrees, sunshine right now. Yeah, dusting of snow this morning, but beautiful looking day on the great outdoors right now. It is our 226th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program, and we have our guest on the line. We're going to bring Teresa in and say good morning to Teresa Herzog. Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful, Cy. Good morning to you and all your listeners.
And Teresa, we were talking off the air. You make your home yet in Frankenmuth, but you're not home today.
That's correct. I am in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, so with my son and his family, and having a great time. And, of course, here there's no snow, you know, but in Michigan I'm sure there is. But, you know, we always like to be together at Christmas with the family.
Well, that's wonderful. And so what is the weather like in North Carolina right now?
Oh, I think it's in the high 40s, low 50s, something like that. Yesterday it was like 67.
Okay.
So, but, and I think tomorrow was supposed to drop, but which is going to feel better for me because I'm used to the cooler weather. You know, it's always a challenge when you go to a different climate, right?
Oh, that is for sure. You bet. You bet. Well, Teresa, it is so special to have you as a guest on this Christmas Eve day, you know, one of the most special times in all of our lives. And you go back a long ways. You want to bring us up to speed a little bit, give us a little history, how you got with Marv, and, you know, a little bit about your history playing, singing, what you all did as you joined the Marv Herzog Band and all of that.
Well, Marv and I was Marv's secretary, and we were married in 82, and so I was part of the first two Christmas albums recording, which we recorded in 81, and he wanted me to go with him to the recording studio, so we had a lot of songs, you know, kind of figured out, and he needed a couple more, and I suggested the Chipmunk song, because I figured if Elvin, Simon, and Theodore could do it, so could Marv and Steve and Rhonda. You know, it was just really great. And Dan Whitaker played the role of David Seville, and it was a great, great song. And it was listed as number 4 on the album at that time. And so when we started doing Christmas sing-alongs, and Marv would say, well, does anybody have any requests? Well, you can imagine the number one request was number 4.
Sure.
But, you know, people loved it, and Marv just would look at the people. But it was really clever how they were able to mimic the Chipmunks. You know, there was a special process that you did in the recording procedure, and we did it, and it came out just sounding like Elvin, Simon, and Theodore, and it was a lot of fun. So that was a great, fun album, and then we did more of a religious or like songs like Silver Bells and things like that on the other one, the Christmas Greetings from Frankenmuth.
Okay.
And following that, we took the pictures for the second album at Bronner's Christmas Wonderland, which I know you've been to Frankenmuth, so you know that Bronner's is the world's largest Christmas store.
It's beautiful.
So we did the photo shoots there, and Wally had the idea, well, if there's going to be Christmas albums, why don't you do a Christmas sing-along here at the store?
Oh, yes.
So the Christmas of 81, we did. And it was huge. I mean, so many people that the people were outflowing from the event center into the store itself. We did two concerts or two sing-alongs per day the first two Thursdays in December.
Wow.
So that's 4 sing-alongs, and they were, you know, live on the radio, and it was a great, great time, and we did that every single year until Marv got sick.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So that
started... And then, of course, then in 93, we then recorded the Live at Brunner's album.
Okay.
So that's why, you know, we had Wally's voice on tape as well, and it was a great memory.
Okay. So I just to get things in perspective then, so this actually started, you said, in 82?
81. We weren't married yet when Marv wanted to do a Christmas album. And I kind of encouraged that because there were a lot of Christmas people. Mannheim Steamroller, I think, was the first group out of Ohio, actually, Hamler, Ohio, who recorded a Christmas album. And following that, it's like everybody jumped on the bandwagon and decided to do one. And, of course, that was in the 70s, and we jumped right on, too, and they were huge and continue to be huge sellers at Christmas time.
People
love Christmas music.
Okay, and you said you continued to do that until Marv got sick.
When
was that?
So I think our last one was in 2001.
Okay.
And Marv knew. Now, you know, he was sick with pancreatic cancer, and he kind of figured he wouldn't be around for Christmas of 02. So the Christmas sing-along of 01 was really, really special. And, you know, lots of, you know, CDs and photographs were taken and autographed. And, yeah, it was a real special time.
You bet.
So, and he, of course, he died, you know, on December 12th of 02. So
oh, he did.
Christmas of 01 was his last one.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So we played every year. And wow. It was always a lot of fun, and the people truly enjoyed. And like Marv said, and then we did the Christmas sing-alongs at dances the whole month of December.
Uh-huh.
And he would say, oftentimes, those Christmas sing-alongs were the only chance that anybody had to sing Christmas songs.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
If families don't sing together, well, how do people do it?
Yeah, that's right.
But these Christmas sing-alongs at the dances and at Bronner's was a way for people to sing along and Christmas caroling. And it's a great, great thing. People love it.
You bet.
So, yeah, I hope other bands have continued that tradition.
Well, Teresa, you've continued to keep Marv's legacy alive with the hotel. Now, did you build the hotel, or did Marv do that yet when he was still living? Or how did that all come about, where the museum is in and everything?
Well, we were good friends with Bob Drury.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob and his brothers owned the Drury Inns across America.
Okay.
And we became friends with him when we played a dance in his area. And just kind of, it was a great friendship. They were both born the same year. Bob Drury was born on April 3rd, and of course, Marv was born on August 9th of the same year.
Oh.
And it was such an instant friendship that when Bob wanted to start hosting dances, you know, because he would come to the dances when he could, and he wanted to host dances in his area, and he built this beautiful dance hall with a wooden floor just so Marv could have a place to come and play when we were in his state.
Wow.
And it was wonderful. It was a great friendship.
Uh-huh.
Well, of course, then Marv got sick, and Bob came when Marv was in his last months, and he was just, it was just really heartrending. So Marv passed, and a year and a half later, Bob came to Frankenmuth and wanted to meet with me.
Mm-hmm.
And mentioned that he wanted to build, well, there was already a Drury Inn in Frankenmuth.
Okay.
And he wanted to build another hotel. And I said, wow, great. I said, well, I'll find you land for it, because I found land for the first one.
Okay.
And he says, but I want it to be one step more. He said, I want it named the Marv Herzog Hotel.
Oh, wow.
And I often tell people it was the only time in my life I was speechless.
Oh, my goodness.
And again, once I got, you know, past the shock of it, I'll find land. And so I was, you know, driving around Frankenmuth, and there was a store that was that had closed, and it was for sale. And I it was on the river, but it was also on Main Street. And I parked in the parking lot and went down the hill where I knew the river was, but you couldn't see it because there was so much brush and trees and all. And when I stood on the bank of that river and looked up the hill in back of me, I thought this would be a perfect spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Bob and I said, you know, you got to fly up here and see. I think I found our spot. And he did, and it is perfect. We are the only hotel on Main Street that is also on the Cass River, is a phenomenal thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then Bob said, you know, whatever kind of hotel you want, you can do whatever you want. You can have whatever you want in that hotel. So I helped design the hotel, the building that is there today. And I wanted it to feel like a home. So you walk in the front door, and it's a living room, large, but it's a living room. And the dining room, because there's also free breakfast included in your stay. So it's a beautiful dining room where people can sit and eat. And, of course, in all the bedrooms. And there are only 38 because it was a small lot. And so we could only do 38 rooms. One of the nice things is because it's on such a steep hill, there's an underground parking garage.
Oh, nice.
And we are the only hotel in town with that. So consequently, with no parking lot around us, every view from every single window is something beautiful.
It is.
Whether it's the twinkling lights on Main Street at Christmas time, or the beauty of the river when you're facing the river and sitting on your private balcony, because every room has a balcony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all you hear are the ducks on the river in the summertime.
Oh, neat.
It's just very picturesque. But while Marv was dying, you know, he said to me, you know, Teresa, when there's a museum, I want my quarter box in that museum. And I said, well, do you want the first one you bought? Because he still had it. Mm-hmm. And no, I want the one I play right now. I said, okay, I will see that that is done when that day comes. Because if he believed it, then so did I. Well, in a year and a half later, it came to be.
Wow.
So, and it's been going great. We have wonderful guests who come and stay, and the hotel is, you know, with only 38 rooms, of course, it is sold out, you know, more often than others. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful tribute to Marv. There's showcases filled with his memorabilia, and little captions on what things are and all, and his history is in the entire lobby.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Plus, I chose 38 years in Marv's life and why they were important and all, and things that happened during those years, 38 very special years.
Uh-huh.
And one is portrayed in every room, so there's 38 different years. So I always said the true fans of Marv Herzog will come 38 times and stay in a different room each time. And I don't know whether that has happened, but anyway, it's just it's really a great thing. So every room and the entire lobby showcases his history and his life.
And you have his attire, his outfit, and all of those things all displayed there too, don't you?
Yes. Yes, the last shirt he wore, his Stutzel, everything is in the showcase, and I even took his watch and took the battery out and set it to the day and the time he passed away.
Oh, my. Wow.
So, yeah, it's a very nice tribute, the flag that was given to him, because, of course, he served in the United States Army.
Oh, neat.
And all the memorabilia, pictures of his fishing days and pictures of the bands and, you know, pictures of him with Myron Florin and Frankie Yankovic, and because he was friends with those people.
Sure.
So it's a very nice tribute, you know, to him, and the showcases are in the same area, so people can kind of go from one to the other to the next, and it's nice. And of course, he loved to hunt and fish, so there is a portion that has he's got a fully mounted bear and large sailfish and, you know, deer heads, and we had two of everything. Two wow. bear, two antelope, two deer, two silver. So I always told people we live in Noah's Ark.
Oh, dear.
Uh-huh. And now they're at the hotel, so they're not in the home anymore. And I still live in the same house that he died in.
Oh, really?
And it feels just really comfort.
What age was Marv when he passed?
What age was he?
Yeah.
He was 70.
He
turned 70 in August. Yes, of 02, and passed away that December.
Oh, my. Yeah, that was a short, really, in today's scheme of things, that's a short lifetime. So he did a lot during those years. Yeah.
Yes, he did. I was on an interview with a different DJ here in Michigan. And he asked me what I felt was the reason for Marv's popularity, because he remained popular his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, because he was just like his audience. He was humble and kind, just like his audience, and they knew it.
Uh-huh. Neat.
And I think that's a true statement.
You bet. Well, Teresa, if I can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. We've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for the sponsor, our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back with you and continue the conversation.
Wonderful.
All righty. So, the St. Joe Meat Market, now closed for the 2017 Christmas holiday, but wanting to take this opportunity to wish each and every one of you a safe and blessed Merry Christmas. We have seen so many of you come through the past days and weeks and appreciate it very much. We encourage everyone to eat and drink responsibly. Food and beverages are so good when consumed in moderation. And this is so true because, really, the story doesn't end here. There are still many parties and get-togethers still to come from now to New Year's and after in the coming year. The football playoffs are just about finalized, so there's a lot more to look forward to. The St. Joe Meat Market will be open again on Tuesday, starting at 6 a.m. with regular hours all week long, up and through New Year's weekend. And then, of course, New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day closed, of course, again, just like this weekend, closed on Sunday and Monday. So, as the late and great Minnie Pearl used to say, y'all come back and see us real soon. That's the St. Joe Meat Market. And Teresa, for being our guest on the program, and we've had you on a couple times now, you know how it works. We're going to send you out one of those meat packages and hope that you and those around you enjoy it in good health. How is that for you?
That sounds amazing, Cy. Thank you. Thank you to the St. Joe Meat Market.
And you've enjoyed a couple of those packages over time?
Actually, three of them.
Okay.
And everyone I share it with, I have usually have a get-together when it arrives, and it's wonderful. The maple-flavored bacon was the first I've ever had, and it still is one of my favorites. I'm just so amazed at the quality of the meat coming out of the St. Joe Meat Market. You are very lucky people to have a meat market like that in your area, Cy.
Thank you so much for those nice comments. I appreciate that. So, Teresa, then going back in time, so you were the secretary. How did you start performing with the band then, and what did you do? Did you just sing, or did you also play an instrument, or what was your capacity?
I played piano, so when Marv would want to learn a new song, like on one of the Christmas albums, is All Through the Night.
Okay.
So at Christmas time, I would play all these Christmas songs on the piano, and one day he came in, and I'd been playing the piano, and he said, "I like that song. Will you teach that to me?" So I did, and that was on our last album, Christmas album. So I did that, and I think it was in 93 when he insisted that, because there was a new song that I thought he ought to hear, he said, "Well, sing it for me." So I did, and he said, "You know what, I think you're gonna sing with the band." And I did, and I loved it, and, you know, like when we would do Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer live in the last years, I was the one who sang that. And in Northwest Ohio, they always love square dancing, and I learned how to call square dances.
Oh, my.
And people would come up to me after and say, "You are the most incredible square dance caller, because we understand every word you're saying."
Oh.
Because a lot of them, you know, they sing so fast and talk so fast, you can hardly understand them. So that was quite a compliment for me.
Oh, I guess
but
so.
Yes, so I continued with secretarial duties, even after we married, taking care of, bookings and the coach, and then doing tours and the music fest and all of that. It was a busy life. So when he passed, you know, I couldn't believe how fast things came to an abrupt halt.
Oh, I bet. But
then I just kind of, you know, regrouped and made a different life for myself, and always keeping his memory alive, of course.
When was the last job, Teresa?
October 6th,
2002. 2002.
And he didn't know. He didn't know that it was his last one. We were in Utica, Michigan at the Casey Hall, and we went out to the coast so he could change his clothes when the dance was over, and he looked at me and he said, "I almost didn't make it through tonight. I am so tired."
Oh, my.
And I said, "Well, we've got a couple of weeks off. We'll see how you're doing then." And in that next 2 weeks, he was in a wheelchair.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So, and looking back, you know, but yet there were people who came and told me at the funeral, they came October 6th because they really wondered if they would ever see him again. So without even knowing it, it was his last engagement. He said, "I don't want a big to-do over my last playing job.
Uh-huh.
I don't want that, because the whole dance would be tears, and I don't want that.
Sure.
I just want it to be all of a sudden it's done."
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what he got.
Now, was that the last job for the band too, or did somebody keep it going?
No. The band kept it going because we had a second accordion player who could then finish up all the Christmas dances, and right on through until, I think that year we were not booked for New Year's because Marv kind of knew, so we just didn't take a New Year's booking.
Okay.
So our last big New Year's Eve was, of course, in 2001.
Sure.
And there was a DJ out of the Ovid Elsey radio station in Michigan, over near Lansing, and he came to the dance we played for New Year's and wanted to record he would walk up to people and say, "What are your memories of Marv?" And he recorded everything these people said.
Oh, wow.
So then on New Year's Day, for 24 hours, it was all Marv Herzog music. There were no ads. And the only talking that was done between the songs were what these people said about Marv.
Wow.
It was truly amazing. It was an amazing tribute to him.
My goodness, of course,
that was New Year's Day of 2002, and
sure.
That was it. So
wow.
It was real special. Yeah.
Who were the members in the band for the last jobs there, the last year that he was playing? Do you remember?
His son-in-law, Dave Slavinsky, and it happened to be for New Year's Eve, his 10-year-old grandson, Aaron Slavinsky.
Oh, really?
He was our drummer. He was a great little drummer, yeah. And he was who played. And then, of course, Tom Darling.
Okay.
And who would the other one have been? I think that could have been it. So it was, Dave, Aaron, and Tom Darling, the three of them.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
And, boy, a lot of great musicians came and went with the band through the years, too, huh? Just mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, your theme song is Musicians Come and Play.
Yes.
Marv recoined that song, Musicians Come and Go.
Come and Go. That's right.
Because they do.
Yes.
They can, you know, only go so long. And we averaged 2 years or so. Now, Tom Darling joined us in 90 and stayed with us until Marv died.
Mm-hmm.
But most musicians, you know, came and went.
Sure.
You know, their jobs, you know, prevented them from traveling with us. And we had a drummer, Dave Berner, who joined us in 82 and stayed with us, you know, pretty much, I mean, really all through the 80s and mm-hmm. partway through the 90s. But then his job made it very, very difficult. So, but we were really blessed that we could hold on to Tom Darling as long as we did. And he's just a great guitar player and vocalist, and he's featured on many of the recordings, all of them in the 90s.
Yeah.
So, but they do. We had, I think we had like 40-some in the 57 years Marv performed.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's quite a number.
Really neat. And just mentioning a couple. I know Dan Whitaky, and he's still well-known. He performs down in Florida at one of the event centers down there, but just a fantastic concertina player. Was with you for some time, and a lot of other notables played through those years. So,
They did.
How many jobs during those heydays? I mean, was it every day, or was this his full-time life?
Yes, it was. From 1972 until he passed, it was his full-time career.
Okay.
And in the heyday, it was probably 175 jobs a year.
Okay.
And then gradually, as he got older, he wanted to start fishing. Mm-hmm. And so we started, you know, keeping aside some days where we just wouldn't take playing jobs. We did a lot of 10-day jobs, so we would leave and play that weekend and then maybe play a dance in the middle of the week and then play the following weekend and then head for home.
Oh, okay.
So we did a lot of that in the 80s.
Okay.
But then when the 90s hit, you know, he just wanted to fish and just do some other things. And by then, I had started the tour company, and we did tours to, you know, Branson and Washington, D.C. and New York City and, you know, and all of these places. So it was nice not to have so many playing jobs that we could then take people with us to some of the jobs we did do.
You bet.
And it was great. You know, he could take off as much time as he wanted to because he knew that I was back at the office keeping things together.
Great stories. You bet. That's wonderful. Some of the memorable venues that you guys played at. I mean, you did a lot of work around Michigan, but you also traveled too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite places was Barnesville, Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and it was a Bavarian festival, and it was in the 70s and 80s, and he had train tracks laid from Barnesville to New York City. And when he started promoting this festival, train loads of people would come out of New York City.
Oh, really?
And it was just a massive, massive event, and it covered an entire park in Barnesville. It was fabulous. And I remember it because we'd play the slot that was 11 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. And at probably 10:30, all of a sudden the hall, you know, would start filling up. And by 11 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the week, and it would be filled at 11 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, when Marv would be done, by 3:30, the hall would be empty. And Marv says, I feel so bad for the band who plays after us, because the people just won't stay.
They were wore out already.
They were, yes. Oh. And it was wonderful playing there. And all the different, you know, we played in Colorado Springs and Loveland with you know, with bands, the Dulcimer bands, and all, I mean, just, and of course, Hamler, Ohio, oh my word. Hamler, I think, has 800 residents.
Wow.
And the years when that festival were in its heyday, back in, again, the 70s and 80s, 12,000 people a night would come when Marv would play.
Wow. That's
and it
amazing.
Would only be 800 people who lived there.
Oh, man.
So it was amazing. And it usually was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Friday and Saturday, yeah, 12,000 people a night. You couldn't move.
Wow.
It was so packed. So those were, and Marv called that festival the granddaddy of them all. Because,
sure.
And it still is going. It still is.
It so. Still happens yet. Oh, my. Wow,
yes.
That's great.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we loved playing Blobs Park in Jessup, Maryland. That was always a real favorite. But yes, all over, we have just fond memories of so many wonderful places we played. But those are probably some real good highlights.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know you used to come into Minnesota. It's quite a few years ago. We had a young family, and, you know, if I had the chance to do it over again, I would have sure made arrangements to get to, I think it was either at Medina or the Bel Ray Ballroom, but we had friends that went to see you, and they never missed when you guys would come into Minnesota. They would, you know, it was still an hour drive from our area, but they would never miss when Marv was playing in the Twin Cities area.
Yes, we loved it. Medina, that beautiful ballroom, is the only ballroom, because Marv's songs were long.
Yeah.
And Medina was the only ballroom that people could get around the dance floor once and Marv's song would be over.
Okay.
That's how large that dance floor was. It was beautiful. We loved that. And we loved Tony at the Bel Ray and the Riverside, you know, with the Hoopenbeckers. All of them were great, great memories. We loved Minnesota. And I always told Marv, because I'm, you know, Marv grew up a farmer's son. I grew up a farmer's daughter. And I would be amazed at how black the earth is in Minnesota.
Oh,
just amazing, rich, rich black soil.
Yep.
Just fabulous. And it's the only state that I can recall all the dirt being that black. It was fabulous. And great times. And beautiful other bands have come out of Minnesota, and we always loved playing there as well. We just didn't like going in the wintertime because it was the only time in my life that when I would try to breathe, even with covering over my nose, I could just feel the inside of my nose freezing.
Yes.
It's the only time I've ever experienced that. And I said to him, the last time we played in the winter, I said, is there a special reason why we only come here in the wintertime? Can't we come in the summer?
Oh.
And then we started coming in the summer. Because then we played New Ulm for their summer festival. And then, of course, I think we played a couple of times for an Oktoberfest.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those were great memories as well.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes, it would have been nice to have you at a dance and met you then.
Oh, yes, yeah. And, you know, that's as life goes in the fast lane. I mean, everybody, I think, has memories and things. And if you had a second run at it, you would do it different. But, you know, with small kids and everything, a person, and back in those years, we didn't just travel as much as you do nowadays either. So it's just the way life goes. So,
isn't it amazing when you actually know of people who did do it?
Yeah, that's right.
Because you're right, that was not common.
No.
You know, people would go a few miles to see a band or whatever, but no, by and large, they wouldn't go an hour one way.
No, that's right.
It's amazing, that spirit.
Well,
so, Teresa, but that's okay because you still are on the air now doing a great job, and we all appreciate you, Cy.
Well, thank you so much. Our time has run out. Unfortunately, boy, we could take a whole another half hour and visit with you, Teresa. You are a wealth of information, and it's so special to have you today.
Thank you.
Really want to take this opportunity to thank you for taking time out on Christmas Eve Day and joining us, and want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas, and we'll look forward to visiting you with you again another time.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you and your family and all your listeners. Thank you so much.
Well, that is wonderful. Teresa, we're going to let you run, and I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment here, but have a great Christmas.
Thank you, Cy. You too.
All right.
Bye.
And there she goes, Teresa Herzog of the Marv Herzog Band and our 226th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. We've now reached 17 minutes past the hour of 12 noon here in central Minnesota. Don't go away. We do have music by the Marv Herzog Band coming up. It'll be off of all three of his Christmas CDs. We'll be jumping around mixing that up. So don't go away.